Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. As you can tell, I'm not a fucking pirate.
Winner straight away.
Okay, oh, by the way, there is an 18 rating on this. There will be swearing. We make no apologies. There we go. Yeah, Chris can't be here tonight. His internet's gone down. He hasn't paid enough rum and doubloons for it. Or some bollocks. I've no idea what. With me tonight, or I'm Jason, hello. With me tonight, Danny, the GFP. nice. Daniel, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everybody. I shouldn't be here, but yeah, the pirate usually sets this up, and these three have got no idea just yet. So I think Carl, we're going to teach Carl how to do it. And then, yeah, so I'm only here to make sure you fucks don't put rude words in the swear in the chat window.
That's nice.
Excellent. I wasn't listening to a word of that. Okay,
good, so you didn't miss anything.
Daniel San is here. Right, next we have that London guy. It's Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you, more to the point?
I'm good. Arsenal win. I'm tired as hell. But I'm here for the Arsenal.
So, you know. Sweet, sweet. It's the first time we've podded together, so I'm looking forward to this, mate. It's nice to finally meet you. Happy days.
Indeed.
Happy days. Right, and last but not least, it's the wonder from Down Under. Dom, how the devil are you?
I'm well. It's about midday here. The sun's out, which is lovely. It's been a bit rainy lately, but that's Vancouver for you.
Happy days, happy days, happy days. So, let's kick straight off with it. Arsenal 2, Basel 0. Dom, what do you think of it?
I've been about as stiff as week-old roadkill for the last 90 minutes, to be honest. I don't know about you guys, but I still am. It was just an amazingly fluid performance. I think the thing that stood out for me was the work rate. I said a couple of weeks ago how I was a bit concerned that we didn't really seem to have a style that we were sticking with and didn't really know what it was that we were trying to do. But that's become a little more clear over the last couple of games. And I think that the pressing and the harassing of trying to get the ball back as soon as we lose it really, really sort of is putting teams under a little bit of pressure with that forward line that's so fluid at the moment. But it was just really nice to watch. Yeah, we didn't quite take all the chances that we had, but, you know, that's going to happen. That could have easily been a game where we'd, you know, score four or five, but you know, I'm sure Sanchez is probably not a happy chappy in the change rooms afterwards. Although he played very well and got a couple of assists, but all in all, I was pretty impressed with that one. What do you think, Carl?
I think we played well. We came out of the blocks really, really strong. Which, you know, seasons gone by, Arsenal haven't really done that. We've sort of kind of grown into games, but lately we've been starting really well. The two goals by Theo Walcott. Brilliant. It's brilliant to see Theo on the score sheet. It's brilliant to see him playing 10 times better than he played last season. You know, I believe that last season he would never score those two goals. But, you know, how he's playing this season, absolutely brilliant. I do think we should have killed them off. I think it should have been 5 or 6, not even 3 or 4. It should have been 5 or 6. You know, we had a chance to kind of really stamp our authority on the team in the Champions League. I mean, a win's a win. Whether you score 3 goals or 4 goals, as long as you get the 3 points on the board, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you, boys. If you look at us this point last season in Champions League, we had no wins. You know, it was calamity all round. We've gone and grabbed ourselves a draw in Paris when maybe we didn't deserve it. Happy days we did, though. And, okay, so finishing tonight's not great. We should have battered them. But a lot of positives. Theo Walcott, oh, my God. Ramming words back down my throat. It's fabulous, isn't it? You know, I mean, his first goal ahead. Boys, what do you think of that?
Sorry, Carl, you go.
Oh, cheers. Sorry. I remember sort of towards the end of last season, I remember doing a few of these radio shows and saying that there is no way Theo Walcott's going to stay. Like, everyone said it. Every single person said Theo Walcott can't stay. But, you know, Arsene Wenger's kind of seen faith in him. And obviously, we kind of didn't see why. But you know, credit to him. He's come back this season. He's beginning to work really hard. All the things that he wasn't doing last season, he's now doing. He's tracking back. You know, he doesn't always have the best footballing brain, but he's doing the the right things. You know, he's trying to make tackles, which is absolutely brilliant. He's helping Bellerin out on the right. He's not being static as well. He's not just sticking to the right. He is going inside the middle, but he's doing the basic things correctly. And when you do the basic things correctly, the other things come better. So this is why, you know, he's making everybody eat their own words now, which is absolutely brilliant. And long may it continue.
Yeah, Dom, go.
Yeah, I've got to agree with Carl there. I think that the biggest difference is, if you look at Theo over his career, 350 games for Arsenal now, if you look at his goals and assist statistics and just as a standalone, it's actually quite impressive. But, you know, what the stats don't show is that he can quite often go missing for large parts of games, and then maybe he pops up with an assist or a goal, but then does very little and leaves his side of the pitch on that flank kind of quite exposed. But as Carl sort of alluded to, the big change, I think, has been just how hard he's working. And I think he even said in an interview recently, it was a comment about how he said that, you know, things had finally clicked. And you know, he said maybe it should have happened earlier in his career, but, you know, hey, look, for Arsenal's sake, it's good that it's happened now rather than not at all. And the difference, I think, I mean, we've all been fooled a little bit before with Theo in contract years where he's put together six or seven games of good form and he'll score and assist a little. But the difference for me at the moment with what he's doing is that work rate and is the tackles. And I think against Chelsea, he made the most tackles for Arsenal. I think he attempted five and was successful at three or something. And that's the kind of thing that he should be most proud of, not necessarily the goals and the assists, but helping out the team and you know, putting in a shift defensively and making sure that we can launch attacks from everywhere on the pitch. So I don't know what Danny thinks. Danny's always at the start of every season, gives everyone a clean slate except Sonogo.
I've had some cheeky monkeys on Twitter going, give me some grief. It's the first time I've been on Twitter for 7.5 years. It's the first time that I've had in the same day, wherever, two people go and screenshot one of my old tweets and send it to me. I felt quite privileged. I mean, they had a point. I was extremely annoyed with Theo for the last 9 years of his career, and I was getting angry. I wanted him to go. But I said on one of the shows pre-season, I might have said it twice, they all start with a clean sheet. And I said, especially Walcott, and give him all the time again, because everybody wants to see Theo do well. He is Theo, the Ox, and Wilshere for me, and my three homegrown players. I mean, I know we bought them, two of them from Southampton, but they were really young when they got here. They were like little sperms. And I want to see all three of them do fantastic. And yeah, that's why I give, it makes any difference to Theo whether I give him another chance or not. But I just said, that's it. You go on, start the season afresh. And he's done that. But you look at the way that we play, with Wobi on the left, Walcott on the right, and Sanchez up front. If you'd have looked at that game and gone, right, who do you think, we won 2-0, who do you think scored two goals and who got two assists? You'd have gone, well, I reckon one of the wingers would have got the two assists and the striker would have got the two goals. But it wasn't. It was the other way around. Sanchez, the striker, as down on paper, got the two assists. Walcott, wide right, got their two goals. And I was talking to Carl before we started, and I've made this point some other time when I was jibber-jabbering on about nonsense. I reckon it's because of the fluid system we play, where Iwobi doesn't just play like the old Perez days. He doesn't just play wide left. Walcott doesn't just play wide right. Sanchez won't only play up front. When was the last time Giroud got two assists in the game? And so with Sanchez doing that, it's because all three of them, they all pivot around Ozil being in the middle. I mean, I know sometimes Ozil is out wide, like today he had a bit of a quiet game. I thought Xhaka was immense. But the fact that all those three players are moving around like a conveyor belt. If you ever go up front, I'll go out wide, because all three of those can play in any one of those three positions. I mean, Theo playing on the left isn't going to be brilliant for him, but then they can all swap round. And having that, it's got to be, they played five at the back, and we made them look like they were playing two at the back. And we, like Carl was saying, we could have had four, five, six goals if we'd have just converted them. I saw, because I was in, my mate Lee, the dirty Spurs fan, was here for the first half, so I didn't see much of the game. Second half, I was cooking pizza, that's why my moustache stinks of cheese. It's making me feel ill. So I was... didn't see too much of the game, but just watching those three move all over the place, it's got to be an absolute nightmare for defenders going, well, who are we meant to mark? If it was Giroud, they'd go, right, you, Xhaka, centre-back, as I thought he played midfield, but he doesn't. Carl said he plays centre-back, and he does. Yeah, Xhaka, you mark Giroud for the entire game. Now, if they say to him, what, you mark Sanchez, and he goes, well, Sanchez has just fucked off onto the right wing or gone left, and the Iwobi's in that front. What do I do? So then that you go from man marking to zonal marking. And if you do zonal marking and there's none, all three of them are playing deeper, in further back down our field, then they're going, well, I'm standing here on my own. There's no one here. And they're all going wide. What do I do? And that's this season, it seems to all be clicking for all of those players. And it's just people, from, I don't know if people remember, but this is only Iwobi. I mean, what's he played for us? 20, 25 games? And already he's a regular starter. And I can't see Giroud getting back in the team with the team being like, it's been so fluid. And breathe.
To be fair, you're making a great point.
Oh, shut up.
No. If you watch the first goal, you know, Sanchez pulls out. Theo just slips into that space. He slips into the danger zone and bang, you know, he what a header. You know, he's got enough power behind it. It's a fantastic finish. And as everybody's saying in the chat box, it's great to see Theo proving us all wrong. Nobody's a bigger critic of Theo Walcott than I am. Nobody is. You know, he's driven me to despair. And it's so wonderful seeing him, you know, show us what he can do. It's fantastic. You mentioned you thought Ozil was quiet. Carl, I'm going to come to you on this. It seemed to me as though Ozil was always that spare man again tonight. Nice and tidy, just mopping it up, just releasing people when he needed to. And you had Santi Cazorla as well. I mean, I dread to think how many passes he made tonight. But always there. What were your thoughts on those two?
I thought Ozil did have a sort of a quiet game, but he was always available for a pass. You're right what you're saying, Jason. He was always, like, if he needed to pass him, he was there. So I think just because he didn't have an assist or a goal, you know, people tend to don't see the things that he does. I mean, he did have two chances, that I believe. One where I think he should have took it with his right, and he took it with the outside of his left and hit it wide. And one where Sanchez hit the ball over to him, and he hit it with his right foot, where I think he should have gone with his left foot or even his head. But, you know, he was always about, and that's kind of what we need from him. We need Ozil to sort of pull people around, and that's always a good thing. I thought Cazorla had a really good game today. Although he didn't do nothing spectacular, how he can change from attack to defence so quickly is just unbelievable. I just think, once he's got the ball at his feet, it's so hard to get it from him, which is absolutely brilliant. You know, I always got to sort of remember the Man City game where we killed them two seasons ago. And for me, was his best game I've ever seen. And sort of, he just does, to get the ball from him, where he just gets the ball from defence, turns and runs. And then he finds either Xhaka or finds Ozil or finds Walcott. What he does is brilliant. And today, it's the little things that he does, like just going past one player, beating them and popping the ball off, you know, not holding the ball for too long, just doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, I love that about him. He can be quiet, yet so effective. Dom, Basel, were they just dog shit or were you just brilliant?
Look, there's a certain setup of teams sometimes where they decide to play three or five at the back. And I actually mentioned this in one of our WhatsApp groups the other day, where every single time I've seen a team try to do that against Arsenal, it does not go well for them. And even before the game today, I looked and saw that it was five at the back, you know, with the wing backs kind of coming up. And I actually was rubbing my hands together. I'm not normally a very sort of optimistic person going into games, but
oh, shit.
Yeah. But I thought, oh, here we go. They're in trouble here, because it just doesn't work. I don't know why or what it is about how we play, but the three or five at the back, when I see teams do it against us, it's always good news for us. So, look, we made Chelsea look pedestrian. We've made Basel look pedestrian. I mean, I think it's going to take a little bit more of a larger sample size over a longer period to see if this is just, you know, have we come up against a couple of teams that were a bit off on the day, or are we that good at home, or, you know, can we do this sort of thing on the road as well, which we're going to sort of be tested with a little bit. I mean, we've got a lot of home games coming up, but it's going to be interesting with, you know, rotation of the team as well. If someone has to have a little bit of a rest, are we able to kind of continue this style of play with a different sort of personnel on the pitch? But I think, I mean, Basel we're just moving them around so well, you know. I'm not really sure what they could have done, to be honest. The way that we're passing and moving, and like Danny said at the start, that forward line, where we've seen it happen a couple of times with Theo's getting in such dangerous positions because Now, I know that Theo gets a little bit of a tag of being not an intelligent footballer, but Arsene has said many times that he makes very, very intelligent runs. And I can see what he means now, where Sanchez has either dropped deep to get the ball or goes out wide to collect the ball. And straight away, you see Theo taking up that position, which is really important, because if nobody does, then that move breaks down and you don't have a goal-scoring opportunity. So he's been quite good at getting in and around those areas and kind of reading the game a little bit. So it's so fluid up there that I'm not sure what Basel was supposed to do, to be honest.
I think that's a fair comment, mate. I think, you know, you bang on. Our movement in the past couple of games has been phenomenal. You know, some of the runs off the ball, you know, it's just creating so much space for the guys to work within. It's been quite fantastic. Carl, I thought their keeper, I can't remember his name for the life of me, he had a hell of a game. He had a hell of a game.
Faklik.
Thank you.
No, he did. I always noticed that whenever teams come to us, their keeper always seems to have a blinder. It's almost like Fraser Forster as well. Like, I can't stand that guy. He was a good game against us. But no, credit's due. He made some very good saves, which were brilliant. I think, you know, we raved about sort of Ospina against PSG when he made some brilliant saves. So credit where credit is due. I don't even think it was bad finishing. I think it was just genuinely very good goalkeeping. So
that's a point. I want to talk to you more about that. That's a point I wanted to make. You know, he did make some superb saves. Let's make no mistake about it. But are we guilty of lackluster finishing and not having a killer instinct?
Definitely. This is why I think that we should have scored 5 or 6 today. And I think just like with the Chelsea game, at halftime, we were 3-0 up against Chelsea, and the second half, I just don't think we had a killer instinct. We could have really destroyed Chelsea, and I mean, like, proper butt-fuck them, like, if we really wanted to, but we didn't do it. And today, I think we went 2-0 up, and I think we sort of got complacent. We could have scored 5 or 6 today, easily could have got 5 or 6, and I'm not going to put a downer on today's game, because we won, and this is brilliant, but it's a killer instinct that I think we are lacking. I really do, because the fact that if we were 2-0 down, would we have the sort of tenacity to come back? You know, it just seems that we just went 2-0 up and we just thought, right, we won this game and we're not going to bother no more. Although, yeah, we were trying, definitely. But there is a killer instinct that is missing from this team, and I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I mean, Sanchez, he was playing out of his skin today and he tried his best, but it just weren't coming off for me. And I think, I mean, we'll get into this later about the substitutions, but I think the substitutions were wrong, definitely, today. But it just, we're missing something in the team. Something to say, guys, it's 1-0. Let's not forget about this game. Let's carry on. Let's, you know, let's try and really get a good, massive score.
Yeah.
Carl, I've actually got a question on that, and I know that this is obviously analysis of the Basel game, but going back to Chelsea, I actually am of the sort of thought process that I was really impressed that we came out and showed a mature kind of performance in the second half and didn't try and blaze away and score 5 and 6 goals, because we've seen it before. We've had big leads against teams before and conceded and ended up getting draws when we've been in winning positions. And I actually think that we were probably told to control the game and show some maturity. Theo Walcott said as much after the game that, you know, they were impressed with their second half performance, where they were still able to keep Chelsea to, you know, no shots until the 84th minute. I completely agree with today's game, though. You know, Sanchez, I guarantee he's in the change rooms kicking balls around still now trying to find the back of the net. But I don't know, I'd like to get your thoughts on the Chelsea one. Are you not sort of more, a little bit more impressed at how we were able to control a team like Chelsea and be mature and be happy with the 3-0?
I guess my thought process goes back to when they beat us 6-0. And I guess I just wanted to do the same to them.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? It's nice to want to absolutely spank a team, but, you know, sometimes the mature, grown-up performance. I don't know about you. I don't know.
I guess for me, it's if you can go on and score more goals, go on and do it. Because it's dangerous to try and just be happy with the result and just pass the ball left to right, which we've been guilty of in the past. You know, there's many games when we thought we'd won it, we're passing the ball left to right, and we get a draw. But I think against Chelsea, I really do think that this is a chance to sort of not really put the sword into them, really kill them off. I'm happy we didn't concede, but I don't think there's ever a danger of us ever conceding, because I think we were that much better than them on the game, on the day. I don't think that if we had tried to just step up a little bit, that there would have been a danger. I mean, if we got the fourth goal, then that would have been it. There's no way that they knew they were never going to come back from that. So I'm happy with the way we controlled the game, but I still wish that we would have gone on to try and get more goals.
Okay, I'm going to put this to all of you guys. Danny, kick off with you. I thought in both games, we've created enough chances, okay? You know, I do agree with Dom. We did show maturity against them, against Chelsea, but we still created enough chances to really cut their bollocks off, put them on a stick and show them outside the Emirates, okay? And that's what I want to do to those twats, okay? I fucking despise them, you know? But again, we're creating the chances. Why aren't we as clinical as we should be, Dan?
Against Chelsea, we had 14 shots, 5 were on target, 5 off target and 4 were blocked. So that's like 66% of those were on target, I suppose. Yeah, because not really blocked. Does blocked mean it's on target, do you think?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it
anyway,
is.
Yeah. And then tonight, 19 shots on at goal, 7 were on target, 7 off target and 5 were blocked. I mean, straight away there, you've seen in those two games, there's been 9 shots were blocked. And like Carl was saying, it's the age-old thing of you could get Peter Schmeichel to come out of retirement at 50 years old with no knees, much like yourself, Jace, and he could go in goal for anybody and have the game of his life, and then next week go and concede 9 goals. It happens all the bloody time. And it's just, I think maybe because it's such a new stadium, and although I don't like it because I liked Highbury, but people come there and the whole atmosphere and the stadium, everything is 5, 6, 10 star quality, and maybe that just ups the players and think, well, we can't come here and lose. Like some of those other shitty stadiums around the world, and you go there and nothing inspires you, and partly because they're playing against the Arsenal, and that's never going to be easy. But why aren't we scoring goals? I mean, putting away all the chances, I think we are playing a slightly different formation, as in those three, like we're talking about, all those three players moving around. We don't have a settled midfield. Sometimes Xhaka starts and Cazorla, and Ramsey was probably the one that was playing in the pre-season game. No, he didn't, did he? Because he was resting from the Euros. And partly because I think we had a terrible pre-season. A pre-season should be, you go to Germany, play 4 or 5 games there,
Danny. I know you hate modern football, okay?
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Danny, I couldn't give a fuck.
You're asking me what it is. And
I've asked you for the last two games. Okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got fuck all to do.
I didn't know you were on about just the last two games while it's going. I thought you meant this season while we're up.
No, but hang on a minute. Away. Look at our last three games. 4 goals, 4 goals, and 3 goals. It's not bad.
Oh, yeah, it's doing the job, but it could be more.
4 goals, 3 goals, and 2 goals, okay? You know, look, let's be fair. By the way, Kelly Maher, Chris is sunk, okay? He's at the bottom of the ocean, okay? Yeah. He's holding his fucking treasure. I don't know.
There's been a mutiny.
Yeah. And he's just sunk. He's drowning.
He's got 2 tiny little gold baubles in one hand and he's having a little cry.
Yeah. Lovely.
You know what? Hang on. Just on the finishing, I haven't actually seen it yet, but OG does the stats over at Smartetta.
Yeah.
And that would be really interesting to see this time last year compared to now, because we've scored a shitload more goals so far this season than we did this time last season.
It was a big problem last season, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And it was also, you know, like there's the metrics of shots created, shots on target, shots off target, etc. And it all comes out and gives you these numbers. So, you know, the eyeball test would say tonight especially there were a lot of chances that we should have scored. No question. But, you know, in the last few games, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure it's as bad as we think.
Okay, Dan, do you think it's because we're creating more? And let's not go back to the 1980s. I know there's a bang scandal at the moment, but let's not go back there.
George Graham was tucked up. It's fucking criminal. He didn't do nothing, Gov. It's just wonderful creating chances, because the chances are coming from everywhere. Like, a defender's job is to stop people creating chances. And when you have got four players that are as quick as them lot are, playing wherever they want to, and the likes of Cathall are getting forward and killing people in row Z, and Xhaka having a shot from bloody his own goal line and scoring every time, whenever he fancies it, because he scores when he wants. And so as a defender, you're going to be thinking, well, what the fuck am I going to do? I mean, we can't mark them all. They played five at the back and it didn't work. It's going to be so hard to do it. And then usually after maybe 10, 12 games of a season, teams start to get sussed out. Like, this is the second season for Leicester. Leicester are being sussed out. They're not hammering not dominating teams the way they used to. Even though they didn't have all the possession, they were defending brilliantly, and they've been found out. It's like a second season thing, isn't it? Quite often you'll get a striker who'll score 30 goals in a season. Next season, people get wise to him. People haven't got wise to the system that we're playing now. Just a slight variation what everybody else is playing. And it's just so much creativity coming from everywhere. It's just, it's a joy to behold, and it's not even Christmas.
Cool. This is the question I've got for you, Jace, is I want to know, like Danny said, I think we are creating more chances. Last year, we were going games with Giroud up front, who I really like. I am a Giroud fan, but we were going whole games where we were getting our first shot on target in the 70th minute because teams were sitting back and just defending, and Giroud is so one-dimensional that we didn't have that kind of run and fluidity in the forward line that we do at the moment. I want to know if you think that it's just that we're creating chances more regularly so we get a little more excited, and is it any different to any other team? You know, Man City are on top of the table at the moment. Do you think that our finishing is any different to what theirs is without looking at the stats?
I'd probably, answering the question, no, I don't think it is that different. If you've got Aguero on the pitch, I think they'll probably create a bit more. To be fair, for the first few games of the season, I was unconvinced by Sanchez up top. I don't think he played particularly well. I think last week he was superb against Chelsea. I think with Theo's newborn lease of life, it's really helping us as well. And it may take us a few more games to get a bit more efficient in front of goal, okay? I'm a big fan of Giroud. I do like him. He frustrates the hell out of me, but I do like him. I think as well, you know, Theo's contributing a bit more. If we can get a few more goals from midfield, and Xhaka started chiming in with a couple, I think if we can get a few more goals in that midfield area, I think then defences won't know how to tackle us, and we'll become more efficient again. Probably City, I thought they're a bit more efficient than us, but not a massive amount. But the number of one-on-ones with the keeper, etc., we have created some pretty beautiful chances in the last couple of games, and that's the disappointment. You know, like I say, really, you know, out of pure bitterness, hatred and bile, I wanted to smash Chelsea into pieces. Tonight, I thought Basel were neat and tidy the first 25 minutes, half an hour. They were maybe lucky to be 1-0, just 1-0 down at that point. But we created enough to really go in 3 or 4 up. And it's a bit of a disappointment, because I think that would have really boosted our confidence second half, and then going on to Burnley and the run of games we've had. But without looking at stats, I can't honestly tell you. But I'd have thought they'd be maybe slightly more efficient.
Carl, do you see much of a difference in sometimes between performance and result? Performance was one thing tonight. Result was probably a little different.
Yeah, the performance in the first half was brilliant. It was almost as good as Chelsea in the first half. I just think the second half, it kind of died off a little bit. It's always the age-old question, performance versus result. You can have brilliant chances. I just think we never have a problem creating chances. You look at last season, didn't Mesut Ozil create like 100 and odd chances last season? So the creating of chances is never a problem. It's the finishing off that's the problem. I mean, now Giroud last season, towards the end of last season, did he go like 23 games without scoring a goal or something like that? So the creation of chances is really, if you've got someone in front to finish some chances off. Man City have got someone to finish the chances off. They've got
Aguero,
that's the one. And if he was in our team, I'm telling you, he would be getting a bag shitload of goals. He would be. He'd be scoring so many. Sometimes our performance doesn't always match the result. There's the times when I've seen us play absolutely brilliant. We have played like teams off the park and we just cannot put the ball in the back of the net. And that's a shame. I've seen us play really, really shit sometimes and I've seen us manage to scrape a result. So it swings and roundabouts. I guess sometimes I think that the former comes more. I've seen us batter teams and we just cannot get the result that we want. And that's frustrating for Arsenal fan, I suppose for the team as well, where you know you're on top, you know you're better than the team you're playing, you play better than the team you're playing. But at the end of the day, the most important stat is the score. Doesn't matter how many, if you have more passes, doesn't matter if you have more chances, more tackles. The only one stat that really is, that matters in any football game is the result and the scoreline.
Cool. Right, I just want to address a couple of statements in the chat box here. Douglas Smith, we're not trying to be critical. We just want a bit more because we're greedy bastards. Oscar Arias, the question is, boys, is Bellerin stepping up his game to audition for Barca? Oh, Daniel, this is one for you to kick off with.
Well, I've had him knocked out, put in a boot. We've taken some of his blood. We've put it through the blood testing device that I'm sure Dom knows the name of. The spinny round one. Centrifugal one.
Yeah, centrifugal.
And he doesn't have any Barca DNA, so they can go fuck themselves. His DNA, his blood was red, just like Arsenal, and it said AFC on every single strand of his DNA, so they can go fuck themselves. Unless they give us £100 billion. Unless they can have him if they stop, if they decide to leave football. You can have him, but then no more football for you, so you can go fuck yourself.
He hasn't made no secret that he's an Arsenal boy, hasn't he? He's been asked a few times. He does. That's the difference between him and other people that have left for Barcelona. When Cesc was
just
asked,
a cock, not a cock.
Yeah, he would always leave it open. You never know. Everything, you know, things happen in football, things change, etc. Which was basically him, you know, hinting that he wanted to leave. Whereas Bellerin's been quite forthright. I think we just need to give him a nice little juicy contract to sign and reward him for the performances that he's been doing, because he is. I don't think he's stepping it up to audition. I think that he's growing as a player and just developing, and it's just a natural progression because we've seen some of the talent there. What do you think, Carl?
I think the fact that him and Walker are sort of on the same wavelength now is a big improvement. I think last season, you know, he had Ramsey, he had out of form Walker in front of him, he had an Ox in front of him. He never had a settled partner. And now he's got that in Theo Walcott. And I think that's what's sort of, he's settled now. He knows, you know, Theo Walcott's strengths. He knows Theo Walcott's weaknesses. So I think the fact that he's got someone in front of him who he's played with week in, week out, and he's settled, that definitely is a major factor.
Okay, Dom, question from Sandeep. What do we expect from Bellerin this season? More goals or goal?
I don't think his attacking side of his game is anything that needed too much work, really, did it? I mean, I think going forward, he's always been quite dangerous. I'm not really interested in the right-back scoring goals. You know, maybe the odd assist where he can cross a ball in, but he was doing that last season. The thing that I would like to see is his defensive qualities as a player improve a little bit, because at the end of the day, that's what he is. He's a defender, and that's what you want him to be really, really good at. It's no good if you've got someone there that, you know, ends up wanting to play on the wing all the time, because otherwise he's just going to get criticized for not doing what he's in the team to do, which is defend. you know, maybe a little bit more sort of physical. You know, he's only a little guy, but he's going to have to learn that he's going to come up against some pretty big-bodied wingers eventually that are going to push him around a little bit. You know, maybe improve in the air. You know, just the basic kind of defensive things. I'm not sure about what you guys think, but I'm not really too worried about his attacking side of his game.
I totally agree with you with his defending. I want to see improve. You know, I think the tackle on Pedro on Saturday was quite phenomenal. He didn't have a massive amount to do tonight. It was mostly going forward. But if he can get the defensive side of his game, you know, up another level again this season, I'd be thrilled with him. Really would. As Carl's just said, guys, obviously, look, we do this. We don't get paid for it. There's no glory whatsoever. We get twatted off a bit. And yeah, Dave, I always look blurry, to be fair. If you like what we do, please give us a thumbs up at the bottom. Now, when Chris said that on the weekend, I should have really gone for him saying he does love a thumb at the bottom. But if you could give us a thumbs up, I apologise for not going there. But if you could give us a thumbs up, I'd really appreciate it. It just helps promote the podcast and everything that we do. And, you know, all the guys give up their time. You know, Dom will come on your stupid o'clock in the morning. You know, Carl's probably got work early in the morning. Danny's got fuck all else to do, so who cares?
I thought I was on mute. I only woke up at about 5:30, got out at 6.
Yeah, I've
got Game of Thrones to catch up on. Oh, it's the end of season one. Wow. Three, enthralling.
Oh, there's 10 thumbs up already. Cheers, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I think the way the thumbs up thing works is the two ways that YouTube will promote our stuff is one by paying for it. Well, we're never going to pay for it. No. The other one is by the number of thumbs up you get. And the other one is if people go and tweet the actual link to the YouTube thing on Twitter. We don't ask you to do that because that's a pain in the ass. But like Jace is saying, the thumbs up just make us feel good. I think last time we got 90, and the one before that we got 70. There's always a little bit of cheeky Jenkinson style piss take. I don't say banter because I'm not 14, but there's always a thumbs down. I expect to see a few thumbs down, up and down, up and down now.
Right, we have a legend in the chat box. Our very own Goonaholic, Dave. I do love you, and that's why I'm blurry. Okay, so back to tonight. Obviously, begin the season when Xhaka Mustafi had come in, Arsene was getting a lot of stick. You know, I mean, I find myself going back and forth on whether I think he should stay or go. He gets a hell of a lot of stick when we lose. So is it right he should be getting the plaudits now when we're winning? Because I don't see a lot of people who are happy to give him stick. I don't see those people applauding him. Who wants to take that?
I'll go.
Go!
It's very frustrating with... you're talking about Arsene, yeah?
Yeah.
It's very frustrating with him because we're no football experts. We you know, we love football and we do it for the love of the game, but... he's a football expert, and no matter if you're an expert in your field, sometimes you make sort of the wrong decision. You've got to give him credit where credit is due. You know, against Chelsea, everyone was like, Xhaka's got to start, you can't start Coquelin, or you can't start Santi. And he started Santi and Coquelin, and we dominated the first half. You know, look what we've done. So we're give credit where credit is due. Sometimes, you know, when... You're right, what you said, Jason. When we lose, people are first to jump on him. But when we win, no one ever says, oh, yeah, great tactics, Arsene, or brilliant team selection, Arsene. So sometimes you've got to, you know, just say well done to him. As much as the players go out there and do the job, he's the one that sets the team up. He's the one that gives them the tactics how to play. So sometimes you have to congratulate him for the things that he does well. I'm sure we'll get onto this later. We'll talk about the substitutions. I think that wasn't something that he done well. But credit where credit is due. Brilliant tactics today. Brilliant tactics on Saturday. And long may it continue. And I hope that, you know, it's inevitable we're going to lose a game again this season. You know, it's going to happen. And I hope people don't jump on him straight away and say, oh, you know, we won 10 games in a row. Then say, oh, yeah, we lost against blah, blah team. Bloody Arsene Wenger. No, he's you know, we wanted him to buy a striker this season. He wasn't the striker we wanted. He went out and got a striker. We wanted to buy a defender this season. He went out and he got a defender. So sometimes you have to sit back and just say, well done, Arsenal. Long may it continue.
Great. Dom, you know, last season, you mentioned this a lot. You mentioned it in the last podcast we did together. You were very concerned about the identity of our football, and that you basically couldn't see an identity to the game we were playing. Do you think this is now a development of the type of identity of the game that Arsenal wants to play? Do you think it's now beginning to flourish? What are your thoughts on it?
I think if you look at going all the way back to when we wanted to sign Suarez, I think that kind of, I think, suggested of what kind of forward line that he was trying to create. And it's taking a little while. And, you know, Carl mentioned it, you've got to give the guy credit, because if it was up to the fans and us, we wouldn't have had Sanchez as a striker at the moment, because it hasn't worked before. And he kind of persisted with it. He obviously sees these things in training and just needed the other players around that whole system to click and to understand what he wanted to do for it to work. And lo and behold, Sanchez is scoring or assisting goals, and that forward line looks very dangerous at the moment. But the major thing for me is that press, and I don't think Giroud gives you a press when he's playing. And we've all been crying out for a plan B, and maybe it is that Giroud is now the plan B, and that the plan A is to have Sanchez up top and to have a hard pressing style of play. Where, and it's another thing with the second half today, where we did get a little sleepy in the 70th, 80th minute. You've got to remember that the way that we're playing the last few games is very, very taxing. It's very exhausting. And a lot of the players that were out there tonight have also been, you know, the majority of them have played the last few games in the last couple of weeks as well. So this is where the rotation becomes very important. So you don't lose the intensity out there, and you don't potentially lose games, but you also don't end up losing players to injury. So I haven't seen us press that hard for this many games in a row for quite a while. And that is what I think that I'm glad to see, because I think it is part of what we're trying to do now. The tiki-taka football's great, but if there's no purpose to it, then it's kind of gone a little bit in the modern game now. I think you need to be able to win the ball back in dangerous positions and transition from defense to attack really quickly, and that's the thing that I'm most impressed about now. But now it just comes down to can we rotate players in and out without losing the fluidity, without losing the Theo Bellerin partnership? Can we put Oxlade-Chamberlain out there and not lose the production and this and the system and the fluidity that we've got? That's going to be the next question that we've got, because Theo has had a little bit of a knee niggle a couple of weeks ago that kept him out for a few days. Remember, he didn't go to, which game did he miss? Was it Hull?
The PSG game, didn't he?
PSG game, yeah. So he didn't go to that because he had a bit of an injury there. So he's not at 100% yet. And so we've just got to make sure that we're able to kind of have a system where people are in and out, you know.
Okay, and your thoughts on Wenger and the credit that he gets or he doesn't get? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I'm with you. I think I've been a little bit in and out depending on what's going on. And the transfer window that we just had was good. I think it could have been better, but it was good. But, you know, I was one that was asking for a wide forward. I think we needed a better wide forward. But in saying that, I didn't also take into account that Theo was going to decide to be a very good footballer all of a sudden. And
no, Alex, nobody saw that coming, mate.
And Alex Iwobi's decided, you know what, I'm good enough to play in the first team now. So, you know, that's where Arsene needs credit, because if it was up to us, Theo was sold. He wouldn't be playing for us right now. And sometimes the biggest criticism is that he gives players too much of a chance, but sometimes that is also his biggest strength. Because if it was up to the fan base, Aaron Ramsey would have been sold ages ago, and I think he's an extremely important part of the squad. And if it was up to us, Theo would be gone. You know, we don't give players enough of a chance sometimes, and we just got to make sure that, as fans, we sit back and enjoy these moments, you know, sit back and enjoy that Theo is making us all look silly, and also tip your hat to Arsene Wenger for making sure that he showed a little bit of faith in him. And you know, people say that he doesn't coach the players well. Well, I'm pretty sure he probably had a bit of a word to Theo and said, if you don't improve this defensive and work rate, then you're not getting in the team because there's too much competition now. And Theo has gone off and done the work and he's all good.
Yeah. Chase, have you seen the questions I've been putting in the chat window?
No, I haven't.
You go top left-hand corner, click on the blue chat.
I've got to have a look now, mate. I want to come to you now, Dan, about...
Oh, hello. I'm not said anything now.
Oh, yeah, I was coming to you anyway. Rudy, calm down. Calm down.
What's please. Rudy doing? Is he barking again?
He's being very excitable.
Is he? Oh, Rudy's a good bloke. What's he?
They're all good blokes in there. That's the thing, right, Dan? On the question of Arsene Wenger, you know, obviously you can be an angry man at times. It's been known, yeah. Your thoughts on it. Give me your thoughts on it. I'll have a look at the questions.
My thoughts on what?
On Arsene Wenger, you know, he seems to get a lot of stick off people, but we're winning. We're winning well at the moment, and I don't see a lot of people giving him the credit he maybe deserves.
He's fighting a losing battle, really, isn't he? Because we haven't got the money of Chelsea, Man City, Man United, and I'd say even Liverpool. But yeah. is there any Arsenal fan that sees Wenger standing there and after a game when we've won 4-0 and if that was any of us, we'd go to the camera and go, fucking told you so. And he doesn't. He just stands there and he smiles and he does that smirky thing and you know what he's thinking. Yeah, I've done it again. Yeah. And hopefully it could be his season. But I think sometimes he does learn from his mistakes, which is, I mean, the bloke's in his late 60s and I very rarely admit if I've made a mistake and I'm 46 next month. Who'd have thought it? 46 and still playing the Xbox most days and watching too much, well, I won't go into that.
Too much Arsenal.
Yeah. Staying up till 6 o'clock in the morning watching TV and then going to bed and watching another 2 hours of YouTube shit, car crashes and nonsense. But getting back to Wenger, he's not going to do us wrong, is he? Everything he does is for the better of the club. And sometimes he does make mistakes and sometimes we do think we know better, but he's the manager of the club. He's the one who's won all the stuff and he's the one doing everything right. And I do honestly believe that we are knackered when he goes. The only manager that I really wanted would have been Jurgen Klopp. And everyone, oh no, he's a moron. Look what he's doing at Liverpool. Yeah, look what he was doing with Brendan Rodgers' sloppy seconds. That's what he was doing at Liverpool last season. And look what he's doing at Liverpool now. They're playing entertaining football. They lost their best player in Sterling. He said Worrell Sterling then. Bloody hell, the ex Watford and Peterborough. The player. Oh, I remember seeing old Boogie Ice play a few times.
Okay, back to modern football.
During the war.
In the early 90s. Anyway, so we've got to look after him and be nice to him because who else is going to come in? I mean, the likes of Marino, we never want to see anywhere near our club. Sepp is never going to come to us because we can't pay him £500 million a week. We won't have anything to do with the agents that control all the big players. We haven't got enough money to bribe Fat Sam to come and do a job for us. I heard he's down WH Smith's at the moment trying to cash in all these brown envelopes, but apparently they
can't find an envelope big enough.
At the end of the day, it's not our problem, though, is it? I'm sure the club will survive. He's been fantastic, but there will be managers out there that, you know, are capable of taking us forward. But let's just enjoy the good moments. You know, like you said, you've got to tip your hat to the guy when he's doing well. And if he ends up taking us to a league title and signs a 2-year contract, then I've got to hold my hands up and go, well, fair enough. You know, like if he wants to do it for another 2 years and he's passionate enough and he thinks that he's got it in him if potentially he wins the league, then I'm not sure that, you know, logic would suggest any other kind of outcome, really. But that's not really something we need to worry about too much, is it?
No, absolutely not. Right.
Any questions yet?
Yeah, I've had a look now. I want one more point, then I'm going to question.
Okay, so make sure you saw them.
Cheers, lovely.
Lovely.
Lovely jubbly. Yes. Right, Carl, you mentioned it earlier on. You mentioned substitutions. Now, go on. Tell me about them.
I didn't get them today. I genuinely didn't understand them. The first one, or the first two, I should say, which was, I believe...
It will be a Wobble
came off and Oxlade-Chamberlain and Elneny came on.
Yeah.
And then the formation for me just went a bit weird because then you had Ozil to go wide and then he's almost like playing three in the middle with Santi, Elneny and Xhaka. and obviously Chamberlain left. I don't understand. For me, I would have taken off Kozola just because he's played. He's 31. He's played so many games. He's played two full games in a week. His legs aren't what they used to be. So you would have thought you'd take him off, give him a rest. We got a striker sitting on the bench waiting to score a goal, and obviously Alexis didn't have the best game. Why not take Alexis off, save him for Barnsley? Why am I saying Barnsley?
Burnley. It's all the same up north, pal.
It is. So I don't understand that. Sometimes, you know, you look at the substitutions that he makes and you think, you are scratching your head thinking, why? I don't get it. Some of them are inspiring, definitely. I think definitely bringing on Gibbs against Chelsea was brilliant. But today, I didn't get the substitutions in the slightest. I just thought it was weird. Did anyone else think that?
The only thing I can think of, Kyle, is perhaps he's got one eye on rotation and fitness for some of the players, because he has picked the same squad for the last few matches. I agree with you, though. I was a little bit confused as to why Alexis didn't get a bit more of a rest, because he was tired. You could see that Alexis really was tired. And like I said, that pressing game that we're going to play now, I can completely understand why he got Perez in the transfer window, because he's able to play that high-intensity, high-pressing, kind of harassing type of game. We saw him score, nicking the ball off of the defenders in the game that...
Forest,
yeah. I agree with you, but I'm just wondering if potentially, you know, Iwobi also was breathing out of his arsehole that game too, and he got substituted. So I'm just wondering if there might be a little fitness niggle here or there for some of the players that he's just keeping a little bit of an eye on. But I've got to agree with you. I think that it was a little bit confusing, a little bit.
Okay, Santi Cazorla played the whole game. He looked as if he was tiring towards the end. Can we see Elneny starting ahead of him on Saturday?
You know what? You've also got Ozil that's played a lot of football too lately.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not sure that Santi's going to get too much of a rest until Ramsey comes back fit, to be honest.
Okay.
That's where I can see the main change happening there. But look, I don't know. Maybe Santi could play a little further forward with Ozil having a rest with Elneny and Xhaka together, or... that's a really tough one. That midfield three, I think, is a really, really... I think if you ask 10 people their preferred, you know, starting three, that you're going to probably get nearly 10 different answers, because we do have that many combinations. So I'm not sure, Carl. What are your thoughts on that game?
I don't know. I personally will probably start Perez up front. I would probably go for Xhaka and Elneny in the middle. Against Burnley, if I'm honest. I'll definitely give Santi a rest. This Giroud thing about him not being fit, I think he is fit. I personally think something's gone on in the club. My personal opinion, but I could be wrong. I'll probably go for the Ox on the left, and I'd give Alexis a little rest and bring him on if for some reason we're not winning the game. But I do think some of our players do need a rest, and looking at our fixtures, you know, we've got the next six games are at home. So you're thinking they're all winnable games as well. So hopefully we can kind of heavily rotate a couple people to keep it fresh a little bit.
And sorry, Dave's just corrected me. It's Sunday 4:30. Thank you, Dave. As always, you are very wise. So it's one more away game, Burnley, then it's five home games. Dan, Liverpool, as we know, first game of the season, came to our house and dropped a turd on the carpet. But then they went to Burnley and got beaten. Can we afford to take Burnley lightly?
I'm just looking at the fixtures. The main thing we have to worry about is the international fixtures. Now, most of our team won't be going away with England. I don't think anybody's going away with England. And we play our game on the 2nd of October against Burnley. And our next game isn't until the 15th of October against Swansea. So that's a 13-day gap. But I'm just looking at Chile's fixtures. They have a game on Thursday, the 6th of October, and again on Wednesday, the 10th of October. So that's two games that Sanchez is probably going to have to play and then rush back in time for us. So I think whatever we do, probably best not to play Sanchez. Give him a rest because he's going to go for two international away games. Start with... I think Giroud might get a go now because he served his suspension. I think he's been taught a lesson that you don't come on as a sub, act like a child and get two yellow cards when we're winning. No, when we draw, we were drawing, it's 1-1 with PSG. Yeah. So he's going to have to, I think he may have learned his lesson because he's done this before, hasn't he? Angry Giroud is usually a good Giroud when he's on kneeling on the floor, punching the floor because he's angry. And I think, he's a grown man. He's best part of 30 and he's still that. Sometimes he plays like he's a 17-year-old that doesn't know any better. But we're going to have to rest Sancho. Well, whether he does or not, I don't know. But I would personally rest him.
I don't think we'll see Giroud till after the international break.
Yeah, I think for France.
Arsene said that he probably won't even be fit to go away with France. So, maybe we'll see Perez get a shot. I don't know.
But Burnley, they're no mugs at home, are they? I'm just going to have a look at them.
But to be fair, I mean, after the Burnley game, there's basically 6 days off for the Swansea game. So there may be a chance for the guys to get a bit of a rest. Stefan Selby says, Theo will be England. Yep, Sam won't.
I'm just looking at Burnley's last few home games. They beat Watford 2-0, 1-1 with Hull, who were in form at the time. Like you said, beat Liverpool 2-0, and then lost 1-0 home to Leicester. And and then the last one before that was about a year and a half before when they were back in the Premier League. So, yeah, they're a half-decent team at home.
Any away game in the Premier League is difficult. It's a game we should win, but it's always difficult. You know, there is not really an easy away game anymore, unless
we can't afford to take them lightly in the slightest.
No, absolutely not, absolutely not. And that's where we'll get ourselves into trouble if we do go there. And this is where I think the concern is for the Arsenal fan base is that we've seen this before. We've seen some games in a row where we've done really, really well, and then we will drop a point or two away to a team like Burnley because we go out there expecting to win, and then we hear after the game the players say, oh, maybe we took them too lightly and we took them for granted, and then we all get angry again. So let's just hope that doesn't happen. You know, let's just hope that the players are a little more mature now, and Arsene's mentioned before that, you know, he feels that the players are all men. And let's hope there's enough leaders in people like Xhaka and Mustafi and Koscielny and Petacek, and, you know, there's a lot out there now that hopefully can make sure that the players are ready to go, you know, regardless of who the game's against, and see the importance of putting in another really good performance and continuing this really good trend. But also the competition, for places. If you're not willing to put in the performance that's required, then you're probably not going to start the next week. And if you can't start, then it's very difficult to get back in. So that's going to be hopefully to the manager's benefit, is that he can A, rotate players so he can get less injuries, and B, he's also got players vying for spots. So the ones that are out there are going to be making sure that they put in good performances.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, Dan, can you go and answer? There's a guy on the Twitter feed. He can't get the thing to work. Can you go and answer him, please, for a second? Sort of ready to go. Our defence tonight, they didn't have a massive amount to do, but when there was a bit of danger, mostly they took care of it quite nicely. Carl, what did you think of that?
I'm really starting to like this Mustafi Koscielny partnership. They complement each other, which I think is really, really good. You're starting to see one go forward, one stay back, and vice versa. And I think the communication between them is really, really good. On Saturday, they controlled that donut of guy Costa. I want to call him another word, but, you know, keep it raining in. And today, I don't think they were tested at all today, but the things that they were tested on, they controlled. Bellerin was his normal brilliant self. Monreal was brilliant today as well. So the defence is holding up. I think there was, two shots on target for them that I can remember, a long range one that Ospina tipped over,
yeah,
and one close range that he saved. But apart from that, we weren't really tested at all. But like I said, the things that we did have to deal with, we dealt with brilliantly.
Yeah, Dom, anything to add to that?
No, I was really impressed with Mustafi as well. I thought that he was very, very good at getting back and cutting out balls and, you know, sliding around and intercepting and doing the clearances and not trying to do too. He nearly got caught out towards the end of the game where he had the ball stuck under his feet and he took a little bit too long, nearly had a Gary Cahill moment, but that worked out okay for him. But other than that, I thought he was very solid. And I think that I've always said that to me, the centre-backs are all about the partnerships. You can have one of the best individual centre-backs in the world, but if you don't have a good partner next to him, then you're going to concede goals. So that partnership is what's important. And I think that it works a lot better than Gabriel and Koscielny, that's for sure. So let's hope that these two can stay fit for a long time and keep putting in good performances and keep keeping clean sheets.
Cool. Okay. Guys, yeah, you know, look, fantastic. We got 129 people watching right now. If you could give us a like, please, that would be much appreciated. Thank you very much. Let's go to some questions from throughout the night. Dan, are you there?
Yeah, that bloke's now able to watch. He says thanks.
Superb. Well done.
Lovely.
You are a technical genius.
He did it himself, but I'll take the credit.
Oh, well, happy days.
I'm ordering cat food. I've just ordered 6 big 10-kilogram bags of James Well Beloved, and it's cost me 190 quid.
Want
to sponsor us, they are the only cat food available.
Okay. Yeah, but with everyone's sponsorship, you say no. So never mind. Okay,
yeah, that's usually betting sites, and we don't have anything to do with betting, because I find betting adverts and shit annoying.
Well, don't name your cat after them then. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get that in a second. Okay, Stefan Selby's asked, if you had to rest a Iwobi, who would you choose to replace him? Danny.
There's only three players that can play on there. It's I think at the moment it's first choice Iwobi. And then if Iwobi can't, then it's Sanchez. And if Sanchez can't, it's the Ox. And there's no one, because we tried Santi there for 5 minutes earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Jesus, he nearly needed a lay down after that. Oh, I've just seen the Dembele's goal. He brings it down in the box, turns around and overhead kicks it in the net. Oh,
Dan. Couldn't give a fuck.
I know.
Okay. What about Lucas?
What about him? Would I play him widely? I had a look at his stats on Transfer Market, and they were saying that although most of last season he only played as a striker and occasionally as in the Ozil hole, most of his career he has been able to play out wide. And I did give the stats once when we were doing one of the pre-season shows, once after we signed him, and I get that he has played left, he has played right, and he plays anywhere in the front four. So maybe, because it doesn't look like he's going to get much chance to be playing as a striker. But I think that's what he made very clear to him. You'll come into the club to play as an attacker when in whatever place we need you in. You're not a £70 million star striker who's going to play every game like Sanchez and Ozil do.
Okay, fair enough. Carl, Ron Paul Swede asks, when does Lucas play his next match? When do you think?
I think he'll start against Burnley. I do. He'll get his chance. I think because of the international break, I think we will rest Sanchez. I would like him to start against Burnley because I think he had a good game against Nottingham Forest. And you got to think Burnley are not the most technical of sides and they are a bit of a rough and tumble side. And he managed to cope with a physical game against Nottingham Forest. So I do think they'll be able to do the same against Burnley. So I would love him to have a start against Burnley.
Brilliant. Okay. Dom... Right, Sandeep, there's a couple of questions here regarding Arsene Wenger. So Sandeep's asked, what does Wenger need to do to win a new contract? Supports opinion. And Adam Manzur's question is, what about Arsene's post-match comment that he's here until the end of the season when he was asked about the England job? Just posturing for a new contract, or is there serious concern? Go.
I think that he's always done that. Last time he was coming up to the end of a contract, there were talks that, you know, potentially if we didn't win that FA Cup that he was going to go. And he just says the same thing. He goes, I always honour my contracts. My contract is until X date. I'll be here till then and then we'll see. That's how he answers the question and that's how he should answer the question. And like I said, you know, I don't put any time and concern and worry into those things because I can't control it. Whatever will be and... I just want to enjoy the next 90 minutes of football.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Okay. Issa Ahmed asks, what do you think of Theo and Jack getting rejected by England? Well, I'll answer that, Issa. I couldn't give a flying fuck. I'm Welsh. I'm Welsh and I'm Arsenal. Fuck them. Alonso Spencer asks, Danny, this is to you. Who's more important to the club, Santi or Ozil?
You mean, did he put Santi or Sanchez?
No, Santi or Ozil.
I was going to say, that's an easy question, surely.
I'm asking the question, boys. Did the man answer it?
Yes, I don't know. Well, it's going to be Ozil, isn't it? I'm sure you meant Sanchez or Ozil.
I couldn't give a fuck. That's the question.
They don't play for Wales, fuck them.
Exactly. Go on, bear it, boys. Ovarian Gunaholic makes a statement, more than a question. Sit the ox down, show him that video of Theo's then the season. Show him a video of what Theo has done this season. Let him have a moment of discovery too. He's got it in him, I'm sure. I agree with you, Dave. I agree with you, but how long do you persevere with the guy? You know, he's one-on-one with the keeper. Okay, the keeper's done quite well tonight, but, you know, he's shown a lack of decisiveness later on when he's picked the ball up. He could have gone over, he could have won a penalty. I think he's a kid who puts the effort in. He works hard. He's got a cracking attitude, but he's just got to find a way of playing for himself and being able to use his eyes and get a bit of vision in his game. You know, it's a bit of a shame, but we all hope he can do it. Turnip Surprise 88. The question is: Arsenal end of season predictions across all competitions.
Wasn't Turnip Surprise out of Blackadder? What they're having for dinner, because everything was turnips in Blackadder the third.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Never mind. Crack on. Right, Danny, predictions. Yes. Premier League first.
The form where I did say before we're going to finish fifth, but it looks like Man United are out on their arse and Chelsea are out on their arse. So I reckon it's going to be top four. And if we play like we are now, it could be second. But it all depends on two players at Man City, Aguero and De Bruyne. If those two die, we're going to win the league. If they don't die, then we're not going to win the league.
Okay, FA Cup.
I think we can win it.
League Cup.
I think he'll get to the semi-finals, and then unless he changes the players that are playing, we won't get to the final. There's a couple of games, though. But the most important thing about the League Cup is all the younger players get games. So hopefully we'll make it to the final, and they'll play all the way through until then we play the best in the final. That's what we all want. It won't happen, will it? But yeah, I'd be surprised. I won't be surprised.
Danny, I don't want a fucking essay.
Sorry. Did I carpenter that?
Yeah, you carpentered it.
I was taken over by the spirit of carpenter.
I lost the will to live after I do that.
I've got the urge to gel me hair and wear
Danny,
jewelry.
Shut up and give me a Champions League prediction.
Oh, going to get last 16. Goodbye.
Hey, Carl.
Second in the league. The FA Cup's hard because it depends on who we draw, but I'll go semis.
Get on with it, Carl, for fuck's sake.
That's hard. Right, second in the league, semis in the FA Cup, final in the League Cup, and quarterfinals in the Champions League.
Sweet. Dom?
I think second in the league, don't really care about the FA Cup or whatever the other one's called now. I think, you know, whatever. Champions League, I think we'll go one step further than we have the last few years. I think we'll get to the final eight at least. We may even finish top of our group and never know.
Okay, I'm going to be ultra, ultra, ultra positive.
You don't fucking care, they're not Wales.
Yeah, we're going to win the league, we're going to win the Champions League, and I couldn't give a fuck about the other two. Right, okay, so guys, if you've got any more questions, put them in now, because we'll be wrapping up quickly. Dave has just said, good answer, Danny. Dave, you're being too kind.
Did we read the one about Turnip Surprise, where it says, will Wenger leave when, if we win the league?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, but I didn't read it. Sorry.
I've got a little comment for Dave, who said about Kevin De Bruyne could stay fit. He's already out for a month. He's currently injured now with a hamstring. So let's see how they go without him.
Yeah.
They didn't do so well tonight, did they?
No, they didn't. Rudy, good night. Take care. Get a good night's sleep.
How about this for a question from Tony Lee? We win the FA Cup, Wenger leaves, or we win the league and Wenger signs a 3-year contract, or we win the treble and Wenger stays forever.
I tell you what, okay. Yeah, I'd love that.
Win the league 3 years. It's
worth
it.
You just don't give a shit about the Champions League, do you?
No, I don't. Fuck it.
Okay, rolling 60. You're a happy bunny. Alonso Spencer did mean Santi.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Well,
he did.
The lobster.
Yeah.
Alonso is.
Yeah. So, guys, in overall thoughts on tonight, how do you feel it went? I mean, it was a very decent performance. We played some really lovely football, but we weren't as clinical as we should have been in front of goal. Where do you think we go from here? Is there something to build on? Are you happy with it? Carl, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, for me, the most important thing is to win. You know, whether we score one goal or 10 goals, we've got to win, and that's what we need. We've got back-to-back games against Lugarets now, and hopefully we should beat them home and away. You know, realistically, there's no reason why we shouldn't. From here, it's strength to strength. We're playing well, and long may it continue. I genuinely want us to... the international break is kind of coming at the wrong time. Because we've got such good form, you can't just want to carry on playing games. So, for me, Sunday, we should go and beat Burnley, come back afterwards, and then carry on our good form.
Excellent. Dom?
I think it's definitely something to be excited for. And as you know, I'm usually a little bit pessimistic with the Arsenal. I don't like to get my hopes up too much. But the change in forward line and the fact that it's working and the style of play that we're playing, I think is really good news. I just hope that we are able to rotate the squad effectively without dropping too much in performances, because, you know, the modern game and athletes have changed so much in the last 10 years that you cannot have the same team play game after game after game. Sure, the same player can play, you know, 3 games in 10 days, but it's an accumulative problem. You can't play, you know, 10 games in 30 days. It starts to get a little too much. So that's where we need to make sure that we have a squad that rotates, and the person that comes in gives you the performance that the person comes out was going to give. So that's the big thing for me.
Okay. Dan, are you happy with tonight?
We have beat the team convincingly at home that have recently gone to the likes of Man United and taught them a lesson. Admittedly, some of their best players have gone. One of them has come to us. Clean sheet, 1 at home, 3 points in the Champions League. That's all I care about. I wouldn't have cared if we'd have had a shitty 1-0. And we showed plenty of promise. And Theo is now got our top goal scorer, I think. He's got 5 goals in 7 games. And I think Alexis has got 4. So, yeah, no, there's no downsides at all.
Okay, cool. Dom, who's your man of the match tonight?
I think Alexis. I think he worked very, very hard. I think he was buzzing around quite a lot. And, yeah, 2 assists. I know Theo was on the end of a couple of them. But I think a lot of the hard work, I would have to give a nod to Sanchez for that.
Okay, Carl.
I would probably say Theo. You know, he got his 2 goals. While he was on the pitch, he was running up and down, doing his usual this season. So definitely Theo.
Brilliant. Daniel.
Can I pick Ian Wright? Because he's got a cheeky smile. I'm going to go Theo because he scored the goal. Sanchez was brilliant, but we all know Sanchez is brilliant. And well done to Theo, so I'm going with him.
Okay, brilliant. I got to be honest, I've got to go for Theo. I think I just love his attitude this season. I think he's a credit to himself this season, whereas he hasn't been in seasons gone by. So good for him. Well done. Looking forward to Burnley, boys. How do you see that going? I'm going to start with Carl.
We should win. You know, on paper, we should win. But this is Arsenal, and nothing ever comes easy with Arsenal. Look at Liverpool. They beat us at our ground and then went to Burnley and lost. So, like Dom said, there's no easy away game in the Premiership. But, you know, if we go there with the right attitude and the right team selection, then there's no reason why we shouldn't beat Burnley.
Brilliant. Dominic.
If we turn up and play like we did tonight with the same intensity, we'll get the 3 points there, I think. If.
Okay, fantastic. Dan.
Yeah, I think we should go there and get the points, as long as, like Dom was saying, we don't take for granted that we're going to win the game. And he's got to pick a team that is going to be fit and up for it. So whether he starts the Ox or not, I wouldn't. Iwobi's doing brilliant, so I'd still start Iwobi because he's reliable and he's doing the job. So I just hope that he doesn't go and make too many changes. I know I said I'd like to see maybe he would have dropped Sanchez because of the two games for Chile and all that flying around, but maybe play him, start him, get 5 or 6 nil up and then take him off.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, I got to be honest. I just think we got to go there, be professional, keep the momentum going that we've built up in the last couple of games. If we play our football there, we'll beat them. Not a problem. But again, you know, they're no mugs. This is a tough league. And we have to turn up and we have to be professional. And we cannot take them lightly. I'd like to see us a bit more efficient in front of goal. But hopefully we should have enough. We should have enough to do them.
Hopefully it won't turn out to be futile.
Do not pollute this podcast, okay? I'm fucking telling you now, do not pollute this podcast.
I've angered the Welsh justice, I'm very sorry.
You're doing my fucking tits in, bro. Right, dear Faber, I love you. You are a magic man. Guys, we're going to wrap this up now. Just want to say a big thank you to everyone for listening. Obviously, you know, we're just a bunch of idiots talking bollocks to ourselves without you guys. So thank you ever so much. We will be back this week with an all-star lineup on the podcast. You will have the magic Andrew Fife. You will have the magnificent Gunaholic. You will also have the grumpiest bastard ever in Steve Lord Hillwood. Danny and Gimli will be back.
Yeah.
I just want to plug one thing tonight, if I can. And that's friend of the show, Dave Seeger. And he's on Twitter. He's at GunaDave66. Very, very famous blogger. You'll all know him. Author of the Geordie Armstrong book. Now, he's got a new book coming out. Supporting Arsenal is a Funny Old Game, where he's written this book and he's basically interviewed the likes of Alan Davis, Dara O'Brien, Matt Lucas, etc. And they're giving their views on how they support the Arsenal, etc. £2 from every sale of this book goes to Comic Relief. On the 22nd of October, pre the Borough game, they will be having the book launch at the Tollington. Please support it. Money's going to a good cause, and Dave, you know, Dave writes passionately about the Arsenal. The Geordie Armstrong book is an absolute cracker, and Geordie Armstrong is a true Arsenal legend. None of this bullshit play for two seasons Arsenal legend. None of this fucking Cesc the Snake, Fabregas twat.
Stop going on about legend. The old one.
Yeah, come on.
Geordie Armstrong's a true Arsenal legend. Yeah. So we will be doing a book review with Dave, but please support him at the Tollington and please support him with the book. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, guys. Have a great night. Thank you, lads, for joining me.
No worries.
Been a pleasure, even though I was forced.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Carl, it's been a pleasure. I'm podcasting with you, mate.
Yeah, it's been good.
Been brilliant. Dom, a pleasure as always.
Thank you, sir.
Danny, you have to be here.
You don't. Well done for stepping in at the last moment when you should be in bed by now.
Damn right. I've got to make my sandwiches for tomorrow. Oh, no. Hey, lovely. Got work tomorrow, boys. Hey, up the Arsenal. What a great win tonight. Thank you very much, guys. Good night. God bless. Take care.
See you later.
Bye.